Welcome, and thank you for taking the time to listen to the Word of God released through Randolph Barnwell. Randolph is the founder and senior elder of Gate Ministries, Durban Central. Be encouraged to access free additional resources for your edification at randolphbarnwell.com. Great grace, peace, and mercy from Christ be multiplied to you as you listen to this teaching.
Mateo is a really privileged boy to be born into such a family to steward his soul for the kingdom of God. It's a special thing when children grow up having privilege. I call it privilege. We recently did quite an intensive probe into the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. The one thing that Paul said to Timothy, the faith that was in your grandmother, that was in your mother, Eunice and Lois, is in you, Timothy. Paul realized the remarkable gift that Timothy was to the kingdom of God. And even though Paul came in at a later time, so to speak, into Timothy's life, Paul came in to play in reference to Timothy only after, on the backdrop of a family legacy. Paul's influence in Timothy's life can never, ever be discounted, because Paul shaped Timothy by doctrine. Paul instructed Timothy by his manner and by his behavior. Yet Paul would constantly say, for example, he would say, from a child, Timothy, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Now I commit to you the deposit. Paul called it the deposit. It was referencing the gospel or the word of truth. Oh, Timothy. You'll read this phrase in the book of Timothy. Oh, Timothy. It's a cry of a father. It's a cry of an urgent apostle. The tone is firm, but it's very, very fatherly. You, O man of God, don't be like those false teachers. They can do their thing, but he constantly said, but you, O man of God. A sense not just on Mateo. We can say the similar things in reference to Mateo, that he's come off a faith deposit that was first in grandparents, in parents, is now passed on to him. And I know that to that, God's going to add in, like ingredients into a great recipe, the deposit of apostolic doctrine that's going to shape his life and prepare him to be the man of God that God has always destined for him to be. Paul would say to Timothy, you have a responsibility, young man. Call him a young man, because Timothy was at least 30 years old, young by Jewish standards. He said, you young man, you flee youthful lusts. You watch yourself, you take care, you watch your passions, right? The world can be going one way, but you, O man of God, you be different. Think about this. Of all the people in Paul's world, nobody else did he say this to you. I commit to you the deposit, the treasure, the truth of the gospel. The things that you have heard from me, Timothy, the same commit to faithful men, which shall be able to teach others also. Everyone say others also. In other words, the things, while Timothy is personal, even Titus, they are personal epistles. They are personal letters, but in no way are they private letters. Right? The epistles end with this, grace to you. And the word you there in the Greek is plural. Paul's intent in writing to Timothy, he knows if I write to this young man, I will impact a whole church. Amen. But while I'm saying these things off the backdrop of the song that was just sung, I'm saying this to all the parents here today, because all of your children are special. Amen. All of your children are special to the Lord. And I'm going to dispense with the teaching because I think the service is going its own way today. I want to encourage you all today that The psalm that Jeremy read, Psalm 127, just put it back up again. And he said something that children are the heritage of the Lord, and he referenced it to, this is part of firstborn sonship inheritance, right? It's part of the inheritance of the Lord. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. Let's read from verse 1, just quickly, right? I'm just feeling, I'm not going to teach today. If you came here for heavy theology, I'm sorry to disappoint you. Come next week. We can teach next week. I should not go with what the Lord is saying. Unless the Lord builds a house. Build is bana, as you know. House is the Hebrew bayit, equivalent to the Greek oikos, house. But unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen keep awake in vain. Pastor Damo taught us that these two concepts are not disconnected. The building of the house, the watching over a city. So unless the Lord builds a house, the laborers labor in vain. Unless the Lord is watching over a city, they keep awake in vain. And Pastor Damo said this, which I'll never forget. He said, the way in which you watch a city is by building a house. These concepts are indissolubly one, right? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. And I want to encourage us all today. I'm going to pray in a moment for families. The preservation of houses, preservation of marriages, the preservation of families. Because God is a family God. God is a household God, right? In fact, one of the things that will disqualify an elder, you'll find this in Timothy's epistle. Paul wrote to both Titus and Timothy. He said, an elder must rule his house well, right? An elder must rule his house well, having his children in subjection with all authority and sobriety. God is going to, so we're going to dispense with Sunday school. I won't be long. Tell you never, it won't be long. Right? So I need to pray for the kids, right? So listen carefully. God is a God of family. And the way in which God works globally, he always chooses to move in and through the vehicle called family. Right? When God wanted to bless the world, he looked for a man called Abram. And he said, I will make you a father. I will give you sons. In other words, the concept of family was present. I will give you the family principle in and through which you're going to be a blessing to the whole world. Think about how did Abraham rescue Lot? Genesis 13 and 14. When Lot was taken captive by the four Persian allied kings, Chedorlaomer being the head of that alliance, the Bible says Abraham armed his young men. Trained young servants born in his house, right? So the idea of a house or family, Abraham could take 318 sons, I call them, born in his house, go on a Mission Impossible expedition to confront four major Persian empires and rescue one individual. Everyone say mission highly impossible. Right? You think Tom Cruise is good. Well, Abraham's got another thing on him, right? This is, how can you attack four major Persian empires and all you got is 318 trained men that you poured your life into and you're going to rescue one individual that even despises you, one individual that dishonors you, because Lot dishonored Abraham, one individual that doesn't see what you represent. But you see, Abraham went in the culture and in the power of a family. He had sons born in his house. And I want to encourage you, Pastor Damo taught us, if you want to raise an army, don't raise an army, just build a family. Because in family, family is the military strength of the house of God. When you have family, you have an army. When you have family, you have strength. I want to say this to all of you. I know families have been under serious attack in recent times. And God is, the devil, if you permit him, is eroding spiritual authority. If you see it in the spirit, the devil, if you permit him, is eroding spiritual strength and potential locked up within the very thing that you have present within you. I want to admonish and adjure us all today. Work on your marriages. Work on them and keep them honorable before the Lord. If you fail there, you will fail everywhere else. It's very, very important. Raise your kids up in the ways of the Lord. All the kids wave to me. All these youngsters, all the youth wave to me, all the youth. I want to encourage all the children. I'm talking to you as your pastor. We love you. We care for you. We want to see you grow up as sons of God in the earth. You're very, very special, right? This is a family sort of focus that God is bringing to bear in the meeting today. The son, Psalm 127, if you go back there, if you build a house, you watch over the city, right? Verse 2 says, it is vain to rise up early or to retire late to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved in his sleep. Everyone say he gives, doesn't give sleep. Read the text. Everyone say he gives to his beloved while beloved is sleeping. Right? Everyone say he gives to his beloved. Right? He gives to his beloved when the beloved is in a condition called rest. Sleep here is metaphoric of rest. And I want to encourage us all. I said this to you in the prayer meeting this past Friday morning when we went over Psalm 16. I want you to be in a place of ease, a place of absolute rest and composure regarding your future, right? Regarding your prophetic future and regarding the future of your children. Nobody must have any serious anxieties about how will the kids turn out? What lies ahead for them in the next few years? God spoke to us in the prayer meeting that those things, you must just be calm and quiet and settled about this. Amen. The destiny of your children, we're going to pray in a moment over that. The destiny of your young children, young adolescents, teenagers, even young adult children. I believe if you came for a word today from God, I really believe that God says to all of us today that your children's destiny is in my hand. Stop fretting. Stop unnecessarily worrying about how will they turn out. You might be concerned. You have concern, but you mustn't fret. It's fine to have a concern about a matter, but as you present it to the Lord, and I just feel today in the meeting, there's such a strong familial grace, if there is such a thing, family grace, such a household grace that God wants to us to focus on it, pray. That's why I don't want the kids to leave. I'm not going to be long. Pray, and then we're going to trust God that God preserves legacy. Jesus could have been beamed down from heaven as a 30-year-old Jewish male. You could have just come down the clouds as a full-grown 30-year-old male and started 3.5-year ministry, die after 3.5 years and go back. Could have done that, not so. But God's order is no, I put him in a family. I have to speak to parents. I have to convince Joseph to marry Mary because he didn't want to. I have to form the structure, insert my son into a biological domestic unit that will be responsible for raising the boy up in a household within a family. God is the God of the families of the earth. I think it's Jeremiah 31, if my memory serves me correct. Verse 1 and 2, that says something to that effect. God is a God of the families of the earth. Look at this. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Could be fine for the Lord to have said, I will be the God of the nation of Israel. I will be the God of the Israelites. But he specifically says, I don't just want to be the God of the people. I want to be their God within the context of their families. I will be the God of the families of the earth. Look at verse 2, just while we're here. There's something in this verse. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace. Mateo, chin, means grace. They found grace where? In the wilderness, Israel, when it went to find its rest. A sword here is a metaphorical image of judgment or pestilence or animosity, any kind of adversity. It's often a depiction of divine judgment or hard times even, right? But the people who survived the sword found what? They found grace. Where? In the wilderness, in the dry, arid place of intense testings, their grace manifested. If you review your life, especially in recent times, many of you have been facing the sword, right? It could be aspects of suffering, trial or affliction, persecution even, maybe for which you personally are responsible and therefore accountable, or matters for which God has permitted because he wants to develop certain things within your life. But you were not destroyed. So tell your neighbor, we survived. And I want to say this to all who are present here today, those who are present and those who are listening via live stream. The fact that you're listening to this means you survived. You're not destroyed. Tell your neighbor, we are still here. We still have a marriage. We still have a home. We still have children. I still have a job. I still have a ministry. I still have a destiny. I still have a song. Don't lose your song in the night. As you went through rough times, but you survived. And you survived for one and reason only. It says you found grace. You found grace in the wilderness. And I want to encourage us all. I really believe in the current season, God, who is the God of the families of the earth, is going to dispense now to each family an unusual measure of the grace of God. I've been praying for my family. We always do pray for them, but just so strongly in recent days, finding the time to literally mention each child and grandchild by name before the Lord, right? And I want to encourage all parents to take up your responsibility. Cover your home with prayer. Because you are building a legacy, you're building a dynasty. It's dynastic. And everything that is dynasty has dynastic rule. There's authority. It's like a kingdom of kings and priests embedded within your household. So please take this very, very, very seriously. You know, God's mercy is always abundant. God's mercy is always great. The Winans wrote a song years ago. It's good to know that God will be there whenever I fall, but it's better to know that I don't have to fall at all. Because Jude says in the benediction there, it says, now to him who is able to keep you from falling. God is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his glorious throne with grace, it says. Right? Now, repeat this after me. God is able to keep me from falling. Listen to me. If you fall, he will restore. If you fall, he will definitely pick you up. But why live your life on the edge, always trusting God for mercy for the things in which you will fail, whereas you can grow in a position of power, overcoming the things that you once tripped you up. And now you can declare, he keeps me from falling. Now your testimony won't be, I fell and he restored me. Testimony must now migrate from, I fell and he restored me to, he keeps me from falling. I no more fall where I fell before, because when I fell, he always had the need to restore. Now I don't fall because he keeps me from falling. Tell someone he keeps us from falling. That's the firstborn mature position. That's the place we should all go. Now, I want to say this to all of us. We will always counsel you, have mercy on you, and representations of the Lord, administer grace, healing, bring you back to where you should be. Because that's the nature, that's the heartbeat of God our Father. But now, based upon the emphasis of God in the meeting today, we are moving to a place where God, wanting to build a legacy, is wanting to raise Timothys and Tituses that have come from strong households biologically, and to infuse them with significant aspects of responsibility going forward. Might I say this to all the parents and households here present and those watching? I want to say this to you very, very carefully. Especially, don't just think young kids. Even if your kids are old, right? I'm looking at a letter there. Even if Eli is taller than you right now, and we all have to look up to him. Even if they're big in stature, they're not kids. I'm referencing the kids. I'm referencing everybody that's a child. I want to say this to you. There's a strong presence or emphasis of the grace of God upon your life. Might I dare to say, I may say this biasly, and maybe a bit of subjectivism in what I say today, but I really believe, my conviction, sincere conviction, is that the folk that are here today, visitors and all of you, those that are listening via live stream, your kids are substantial. Your children are no fly-by-nights, not fickle, insubstantial. All of them will be significant carriers of the weight and the glory of God in their time. Mateo's dedication is simply symptomatic of what attends everybody. The uniqueness of God's call is upon every single child, adolescent, young adult, upon all your lives. If you're sitting next to, okay, never mind, just say this to everybody, because everybody is included, including the adults. Say this to them: you are not fickle. You're not insubstantial. Especially if it's a child, tell them you're not a mistake. Say you're important. You are significant. Right? Everyone is seriously important to God. Okay? Let's just finish up Psalm 127 and I'll close. Right? Verse 3, I think. Behold, Psalm 127. Behold, children are the gift of the Lord, the fruit of the womb is his reward, right? Like arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior, so are the children of one's youth. So many principles here. How blessed is the man whose quiver, full of arrows, which are depiction of sons, whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gates. Okay? Our huge teaching on this, and what does it mean to speak with an enemy in a gate. In a gate is a fatherly principle, because gates allude to fathers. So you can speak to the enemies like you have imbibed the doctrine and the culture of a father that God has placed over you. John 10, Jesus says, the good shepherd or the shepherds come through the door. In the door, in the gate. You come immersed in the culture, in the spirit of the person in and through whom you come. Everyone say, in the gate. This is different to possessing the gate of the enemy. That's a different scripture. Don't confuse these two scriptures. That scripture that speaks of, they shall, concerning Abraham's seed, it says, they shall possess the gates of their enemies. But you can't possess the gates of your enemies until you speak to your enemies in a gate. It's gate for gates. Only gates can contend with gates. So Paul spent 3 years at Ephesus, and he deposed Diana of the Ephesians, evil, idolatrous deity that Ephesus and the whole of Asia Minor worshipped, really. She controlled the entire jurisdiction. Paul came to Ephesus for 3 years, taught. Bible says he persuaded them concerning the kingdom of God, right? And he deposed Diana of the Ephesians. Timothy didn't do that. Paul, as a gate, did that. And then you'll read in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul says to Timothy, I left you in Ephesus, that you must teach them not to teach strange doctrines and myths and genealogies, etc. There's a thing. I left you in a place where I deposed a major principality, Timothy. I had the grace to do it. You as my son could not do it. I did it. And then in Corinthians, you can find the scripture, he says, Paul said this to Corinth. He says, when I was at Ephesus, I fought with wild beasts. He's not speaking literally. He's speaking metaphorically. And the wild beasts he references there in Corinthians, where he says, while I was at Ephesus, I fought with wild beasts. He's referencing powers and principalities over the whole city, Diana of the Ephesians, that he deposed through strong doctrine. So when the Father dismantles the principality, the Father inserts the Son. Timothy now can deal with the aftermath of the victory that his father in the Lord secured over the region. The grace to deal with those wild beasts. Right? Then he says, from you pure human motives, I fought with wild beasts at Ephesus. Right? And I want to say this to all of you. It's so very important that even though you and your husband, you and your wife have strong faith and you're raising up a child in the kingdom, Eunice and Lois raising up faith in young Timothy. But young Timothy still needs a gate. He needs the influence of an authentic apostolic father. So Paul, Timothy can speak to enemies in the gates. His quiver is an arrow in Paul's quiver. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of sons. And they will speak to the enemies in the gates. And I want to say this to all families. It's so vital that you take your children and you expose them to authentic apostolic fatherly grace. Right? That's going to authorize them to speak to powers, enemies, and principalities in the gates. Abraham's 318 could not face Chedorlaomer without Abraham. Abraham is a gate, right? And he could speak to enemies. They could address enemies if they stood in the grace of Abraham and they had secured great victories for the Lord. I want to say this to all of you today. There's great victory for your family. Amen. Hallelujah. Jonathan, don't be worried about those boys. You're holding them there in the sun. Right? Don't be worried about those boys. Those boys will turn out well. Right? They're going to contend with enemies. You just impart the faith. Expose them to authentic apostolic grace. They will speak to enemies in the gates, in the authority of the Lord. Amen? So I want you to stand with me. I want you to lift. Demain, you just want to play for us as we. I want you to lift your hand before the Lord as we. Just lift up your hands to Him. Amen. Thank you, Father. Please be very serious at this time. Just have a sense of legacy, destiny. No matter what the state of your kids right now, they may be far from God. You might be saying to me, Randolph, my family, what you're saying doesn't apply because the fruit that I'm seeing is so alien to the things you are saying. I just sense at this presentation of Mateo's today, that God has used it as a great setup to do something significant in the lives of families that are present and those watching via live stream. My heart is very concerned for marriages, for families, because God is preserving legacy and destiny. For those of you that are maybe married and trusting God for children, even those that are watching, I declare to you that your womb will be open. Because children are the fruit of the womb, it says, is the reward of the Lord. And I really sense the Lord's reward is upon this gathering. The Lord's preservation upon families And it's not just that he will keep them, they will be fine, they all will go well with them. It's much more than that. God's going to use them for strategic purpose. The purposes of the Lord are going to run swiftly and significantly, far more than we've ever realized. You know, I just have this view in my mind right now, a vision of me, old and gray, sitting at the back of some meeting, right? And then I see these youngsters bless the socks off me and speak of things I couldn't see ever in the Bible. And they're going to levels way beyond us. I want you to see your kids in that way. Zeph, Saint, you're going to be preachers of the kingdom, preachers of God's word. Yes, amen. You're going to be preaching and blessing people and telling them of the goodness of the Lord. Amen. All these kids are very important to us. Amen. Uncle Aleko, you and your wife will produce, I'm looking at you there, you're going to produce significant seeds for God and for His kingdom. Watch your legacy. Watch what God will do within your lives. Hence, it's so important for you to impart the faith that you have received into them and expose them to apostolic doctrine. They're going to be significant. I could say the same to all. Now, might I also say to all the unmarried, please marry accurately. Please, I beg you, if I go on my knees, don't play. Don't play with this aspect. Either the choice of a life partner will either set you back significantly or set you forward significantly. Don't play with this issue. You'd rather take your time, you'd rather rein in your passions and say, God, I want to please you in this. Let my choice of a life partner be your selection, because God, you're after a godly seed, you're building legacy. I don't want to be one of the stats of those who failed. I want to enlist God. Here is my life. All the young people, if that is you, I believe, just set that as a desire within your heart. There's such an all-pronged emphasis of the Lord in today's service. God's going to bless families, raise strong kids. God's going to give good partners to those that need it. Amen. Strong marriages, legacy, dynasty, contending with enemies in gates. Amen. Look at me. When I held Mateo up and I quoted that Moses spoke to Pharaoh. I knew he will speak to kings one day. But you're going to contend with enemies in gates. Right? That capacity will be there. You will not be intimidated. You will not be shrink back from the responsibility. There's serious significance attached to our gathering today. And I want to encourage even the adults, this word is for you, right? All these promises are your portion as well. So I want you to join the hands of the person next to you. And I seriously want you to start praying for your families. If you don't have one, pray for yourself. If you're desiring an accurate partner, bring that before the Lord. Amen. Bring your children and your grandchildren before the Lord. Amen. If you desire children, I believe that even this year we're going to have news of pregnancies, supernatural pregnancies, and people will know that this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous within His sight. Amen? Let's pray. Come on, just pray for your family. Just together with your spouse, if they are here, just bring them before the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you today for your word. Thank you, O God, for your goodness and for your grace present in the meeting today. And Father, we have no other desire except to see your hand of blessing upon families, upon children, upon marriages, upon the choice of partners for marriage. I just present these things to you, Father. We stand as firstborn sons, trusting you. Oh, trusting you, O God, that the things we've said, the things we've prayed, the things we've taught in this service will be followed with signs and wonders, doings of the Lord. I speak breakthrough and blessing upon families, upon households, upon children, upon mothers and fathers. Oh, Father, upon grandparents and grandchildren, from infants to young adults, to even to the adults, God, I just speak your blessing, the blessing of the Lord over the house, over families. You are the God of the families of the earth. You are the God of families. Be the God of families today. Be the God of families. Be the God of households. Come and take your lordship over the families that are here present today. In the name of Jesus, I bless each house with the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and brings no sorrow with it, Father. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.